Luke's Gospel, chapter 7, we'll begin in verse 36. The title of the message is A Tale of Two Debtors. Say amen when you've found it. Please do follow along. It is very important. It says, "Now, one of the Pharisees was requesting him to dine with him. And he entered the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. And there was a woman in the city who was a sinner. And when she learned that he was reclining at the table in the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster vial of perfume. And standing behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears, and kept wiping them with her hair of her head, and kissing his feet and anointing them with the perfume. Now when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, 'If this man were a prophet, he would know who and what sort of person this woman is who is touching him, that she is a sinner.' And Jesus answered him, 'Simon, I have something to say to you.' And he replied, 'Say it, teacher.' A moneylender had two debtors. One owed him 500 denarii, the other 50. When they were unable to repay, he graciously forgave them both. So which of them will love him more?' Simon answered and said, 'I suppose the one whom he forgave more.' And he said to him, 'You have judged correctly.' Turning to the woman, he said to Simon, 'Do you see this woman? I entered your house and you gave me no water for my feet, but she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but she, since the time I came in, has not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she anointed my feet with perfume. For this reason I say to you, her sins, which are many, have been forgiven, for she loved much, but he who is forgiven little loves little.' Then he said to her, 'Your sins have been forgiven.' Those who were reclining at the table with him began to say to themselves, 'Who is this man who even forgives sins?' And he said to the woman, 'Your faith has saved you. Go in peace.'" Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I come to you, God, a debtor. But Lord, my debt's been paid by your Son, Jesus Christ. And it's by his name that I come to you. I come to you and ask you right now, God, that you'd let me preach with clarity and conviction, God. And Lord, I pray, God, that you would anoint me from the top of my head to the sole of my feet. Lord, I pray, God, that you prepare the hearts of your people to receive this message, God. And Lord, I pray, God, that you would just let me only speak when spoken through, God. Lord, I give you praise that your word will not go out and return void, but it will accomplish that what you purpose, God. I thank you, Father God, that there's people in this house that need to hear this message. And I thank you, God, your message will prevail. We give you all the praise and all the glory. And the church said, amen and amen. A Tale of Two Debtors. During the trials of Nazi war criminals, a Jewish man stepped in and watched a part of Adolf Eichmann's trial. And he burst into tears. And someone next to him said, your anger must be unbearable. He said, no, it isn't anger. He said, the longer I sit here, the more I realize I have a heart like his. It's real easy to look around the world and realize that all humanity needs forgiveness. We all need forgiveness for our depravity. We look at cases like the Holocaust and think, what a depraved human being could do this. But I want to say this, our hearts, apart from Christ, is capable of great evil.
We all need forgiveness for our depravity. Mark Twain once quipped, he said, "We are all like the moon. We have a dark side we don't want anybody else to see." How true it is. Amen? Or oh me. But some refuse to see their own depravity. Chuck Swindoll writes, he said, "Webster says depraved means marked by corruption or evil, perverted, crooked. It's important that you understand this is an internal disease. You can't detect it from the outside. Most folks don't look depraved. Most of us do a masterful job of covering it up. But never doubt that underneath, deep down inside, there is this disease that eats away at us and pollutes our thoughts and our words, our relationships, and our actions." In Luke 7, we see a great illustration of this point. That we all need mercy and grace from God our Father. And it's been given through Jesus Christ. This sermon, I want to focus on the debtors, the debt, and the dispensation of grace in the parable Jesus spoke. Now, I want to say, during the story, Jesus gives a parable, and a parable actually means to lay alongside. It lays alongside life, and basically what he's talking about in this parable of the two debtors, he's talking about the situation that is unfolding in the narrative of Simon the Pharisee, the sinner woman, and Jesus as they sit there at the table. He's looking and he's talking about the situation, but he gives a parable. Now, I want you to stop. This scene here is not, they're not in an enclosed house. Many of the Pharisees or many of the banquets at this time was an open, people could come and go as they play. It's kind of like an open, if you go to a restaurant and they have the section that you can set outside, it's kind of like that. They were able to come and go, and there was a great banquet. And the Pharisee had invited Jesus in to this place, and it would have been real easy for people to just kind of come and go, and crowds would gather around just to see what the people of influence were talking about. Of course, Jesus was going, His name was mentioned on every corner, all through Jerusalem and all through the land of Judea. People were talking about this man named Jesus, and of course, many people would come just for curiosity's sake. But I want to share something with you, just a little bit of a debate. I believe this is one of three anointings of Jesus. We see there's four records in the Gospels of the anointing of Jesus. Two of them, Matthew and Mark, I believe, depict the same event. And John and Luke is actually two others. Now, there's a lot of similarities, and I don't want to get bogged down in that, but I just want to let you know there is great debate of how many times Jesus was anointed. This anointing actually happened earlier in His ministry. The others were all preparing for His death. Some anointed His head, and they fussed about the cost of oil. This one anointed His feet. Just wanted to make that. Let's look in verse 42. Verse 41, I'm sorry. It says, "A moneylender had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. Now, I want to talk about the two debtors here. We have these two people, these two individuals. We have Simon the Pharisee. The Pharisees were a group of religious people that thought they had all their T's crossed and all their I's dotted, and they had great spiritual pride, many of them. Now, I do believe this Pharisee is curious as to who Jesus is, and he has invited him in to fellowship with him. But there's two debtors in this story. One owes a great deal, the other still owes a little bit, but are still a debtor. It says, "A moneylender had two debtors, one owed 500 denarii and the other 50. The denarii is basically one day's wages in that time period. Now, I want to talk about the one person. Let's talk about the Pharisee, one of the debtors. See, because Jesus is talking about the woman and the Pharisee all this unfolding. As they have sat around and ate, this woman comes in to anoint Jesus, and the Pharisee's like, look, what kind of man is this to letting a woman like this touch him? And he kind of looks down his nose upon this woman, and you see her as broken and repentant. But first, let's talk about the Pharisee. What can we find out from this text? The first thing is, in verse 40, we hear that his name is Simon. Simon was a very popular name. Matter of fact, there was a couple of disciples named Simon. And don't mistake this with Simon of Bethany, which is another anointing story. Okay, this is just Simon the Pharisee. Although he was a Pharisee, it was possible that he invited Jesus to his home because he was curious about him. He was wondering who this man was. And this would explain the inner turmoil that he had in verse 39 when he begins to talk about if this man was a prophet or the prophet, wouldn't he know who was touching him? And, you know, remember the Pharisees, they were not to eat with sinners because it would contaminate them or what they thought, right? And they wouldn't be able to allow to touch certain things because it was unclean and unholy. And he's saying, look, this woman is possibly a prostitute. Now, this scripture doesn't say that, but it implies it. Wouldn't he know who she was? He's actually going on through this turmoil. But I want you to notice something about Simon the Pharisee, the first debtor. He was blind to his own sinfulness. Have you ever had people like that? Have you ever known people like that? You've been like that before. Amen? Amen or oh me? He was blind to his own sinfulness. He was blind to the woman's worth as being created in the image of God. Yes, she may have a past, but my friend, God still loved her, and he couldn't get past her past. And another thing, he was blind to see what Jesus, who Jesus was. He was blind to himself, to others, and to God. He was blind. The perfect illustration of this man's attitude was when Jesus told the parable of the Pharisee and the sinner praying. The Bible says, and I believe it's in Luke chapter 18, verses 9 through 14, it says that there was a Pharisee that stood by himself and prayed to himself. Notice that, he prayed to himself, by himself, to himself, and he was like, I'm so glad that I'm not like anybody else. I'm not like the adulterer, I'm not like this, and I'm not like that, and I'm so much greater. Lord, thank you for not making me like these low-down scallywags. I'm paraphrasing. That's West Green translation, okay? And then there was a sinner that wouldn't even lift their head up to heaven. I said, God, have mercy on me. For I'm a sinner. I don't deserve your grace, your mercy. And Jesus actually said, which one of those do you think got a prayer through? And I noticed that the Pharisee was off by himself praying to himself. Read it, Luke chapter 18. Go home and study it out for yourself. It also, in Matthew chapter 7, we hear all the time, I'm going to turn there and read this, all the time we hear this passage read or cited, especially on Facebook. I mean, you'll be surprised at how many times these verses appear in a Facebook conversation. Matthew chapter 7, starting in verse 1. Do not judge so that you will not be judged. Have you ever heard that? For in the way you judge, now notice that people stop there, but let's go a little bit further. This is a perfect illustration of what this man's going on. He's blind to himself. He doesn't see. Matter of fact, Jesus even, I think he's kind of being sarcastic. And now this woman has walked in and crying and making a scene, and everybody's staring at her. Could you imagine if somebody walked in and started crying and wiping the people's feet with their hair? And everybody would stop and look, what's going on? Jesus actually says, hey, Simon, look at this one. Do you see this woman here? What powerful question. Did you see this woman here? Many times we're blinded by our own sin. But in Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 through 5, it says, do not judge so that you will not be judged. For in what the way you judge, you will be judged. And by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, and behold, a log is in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the log out of thine own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. Jesus was basically letting this man know Simon the Pharisee was blind. He was worried about other folks, but he didn't realize he was a debtor too. All of us need forgiveness. Every single one. I don't care how many times you darken the doors of a church. Every single one of us. We are a debtor. Brother Phil came to me before service. He said, I know you got me in your sermon, but who's the other one? A Tale of Two Debtors. And no, it was by coincidence that I titled this after the ladies went on a shopping trip. I didn't think about that until a while ago. We all need forgiveness. Warren Wiersbe writes, he said, this parable does not deal with the amount of sin in a person's life, but the awareness of that sin in his or her heart. Because you know what? How much does it cost to be in debt? Could you go borrow $1 million and be in debt? Or could you go borrow $1 and still be in debt? How much sin can you commit to make you a sinner?
One.
That's it. And what Simon the Pharisee was not understanding is that all men have fallen short of the glory of God. And it is by His grace that we are saved. Not by our to-dos, not by what we think, but by His grace. By His grace. Simon had a sin of the spirit. He was proudful. Pride. Arrogant. Thinking he had it all together. Looking down on this poor woman. And I want to say this. In church, it was real easy for us to look down at sins of the flesh. Amen? But I want to tell you, some of us need to check our hearts and realize that, guess what? We're in just as bad shape by looking down on others in a prideful, arrogant way. Pride is sin. Jealousy is sin. Envy is sin. Those are sins of the Spirit, aren't they? But we want to harp on folks doing things. Don't smoke and chew and hang out with girls who do. Amen? We're so quick to say, this is this and that is that. But I want to say this. Every single one of us owe a debt. We're all debtors. We fall in this category. We all need forgiveness. Matter of fact, Paul writes about the sins of the flesh and the sins of the spirit in 2 Corinthians 7:1. He says, having therefore these promises, talking about the gospel promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. I want to tell you, church, that if you think you're better than somebody else, you need to get down to these altars. You know the difference between me and the addict down the road or the prostitute down the road? It is the grace of God. Receiving the grace of God is the only difference between you and Adolf Eichmann, Adolf Hitler, Charles Manson. Let's go. We think of these folks as some bad folks. But y'all want to tell you this. If those people cried out to Jesus and asked for forgiveness and put their faith and trust, guess who you're going to see at the pearly gates? Come on now. That's hard for us to understand, isn't it? But it's true. It's true. We all need forgiveness. Now this woman, she came and she, of course, you can look at her and tell that she's repentant. I mean, she probably got what I call the ugly crying. You know what it is, where you know when your mama used to beat you and you couldn't stop crying and you just, y'all didn't do that? Y'all know what I'm talking about, ugly crying. I mean, you just, and then your mama tell you, you better suck it up or I'm going to give you something to cry about. Woman, you just beat me for 5 minutes. And you can't help. I mean, she's ugly crying. She's broken. See, I do stuff like that to keep y'all paying attention. Although many have argued this woman was a prostitute, this we can't say, but it's a good speculation. It's a good speculation. Now, why did this woman approach Jesus in the first place? First of all, I think that she knew that he wasn't a condemning person. Romans 8:1 says, therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Amen? Jesus didn't come to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. But if you look at a harmony of the Gospels, there's something that happened in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. Jesus said the statement, and this happened right before this event, if you spread it out on a timeline, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Now, if she was a working woman, let's just say it that way. If she was a working woman, she probably wasn't very happy with her lifestyle, and she was probably tired of people looking down their noses. And then they had this man stand up in front of everybody and say, if you're tired, come to me, I will give you rest. Is there somebody here today that is tired spiritually? And I want to tell you that Jesus Christ says, come unto me, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. Could it be that she heard this clarion call of turning away from her sin, and now she could not wait, and she accepted that forgiveness, and she could not wait to pour her worship out on Jesus? It is evident in this passage that whatever her past, she was convicted of it. Whether she was a soccer mama or a prostitute, it does not matter. She was broken. She was broken and convicted of it. However, it is a thought. Now, I thought about this. However, if she were a prostitute, if she were that kind of past, this alabaster box. Now, what I've heard is people would save their money, and this was kind of like a retirement plan. They would save and buy this precious oil, and in their older age when they can't work, they would sell a little bit, because they didn't have Social Security then. Sell a little bit and make it through the day. It was a very expensive oil. I want you to stop and think, how did she get the money to buy the oil if that was her past? That lets me know that even the best thing that you can give to Jesus is tainted. Amen. If that is true, she purchased this with the profits of her business. Everything that you offer to Jesus is tainted by your sin. Amen. Even the very best thing you think, well, I can get to heaven by doing my best, and I can go to church, and I can give in the offering. My friend, every single thing you do is touched by your depravity. Every gift that you offer to God is tainted by your sin. The very best you have is not good enough. It's not good enough. Now, let's look at the debt. And when they were unable to repay, he graciously forgave them both. Now, we notice that one had great debt, 500 denarii. That's 500 days worth of work and 50 days worth of work. When they were unable to repay, he graciously forgave them. So which one of them loved him more? Now let's just stop right here and look. We all need forgiveness, right? Y'all follow? Yeah, we all need forgiveness. Now, it's very noteworthy that forgiveness of the debt comes before the love. Because the Bible says in 1 John 4:19, we love because he first loved us. Amen? Notice it says, he graciously forgave them both. They were unable to pay. I want you to turn to Ephesians chapter 2. This is some of the best preaching you'll ever hear right here. And it's not my thoughts. It's what Paul, the Holy Spirit, inspired. And I'm just going to read these to you. Just going to read along. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. I want you to get this and know that there is nothing that you can do to be saved except faith in Jesus Christ. You have a debt that you cannot, they were both unable to repay. Even the one that owed great and those that owed little, amen, well, they were unable to pay. There is nothing that you can do to pay this debt. Jesus has paid it for them. It takes God to graciously forgive. Ephesians chapter 2, starting in verse 1. And you, imagine there's a mirror in front of it. And you were dead in your sins and trespasses, and in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that now worketh in the sons of disobedience. Among them we too all formerly lived in the lust of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. Now he's writing to Christians, and he's saying what you used to be. But God. Now, I love it. One preacher preached the unction of the conjunction. But God. I heard one preacher preach about the big buts of the Bible, and this is one of them. You were dead in your trespasses, but God. But God, being rich in mercy, because of His great love wherewith which He loved us, even when you were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together in Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised up with Him, and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that you, in the ages to come, He might show the surpassing riches of His grace in the kindness toward us by in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are a workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we should walk in them. Amen. You say, Brother Kevin, you're throwing out a lot, but I want to let you know you were dead in your sins. No matter what, no matter who it is, whether you're a good old boy or a downright heathen, you owe a debt, and it has to be paid. It has been paid by Jesus Christ. Now notice in verses, we have this passage where she goes and she begins to cause a scene, and she's wiping His feet and washing His feet with her tears and all this, and she's broken and she's just pouring out her love upon Jesus. And He says, which one loves more? I want to tell you, isn't it funny, those that have had a sordid past, isn't it funny how they have a great affection for the Lord? Because you know what? You know why I love the Lord? Is because I know that I was down at the bottom of the barrel, amen? I know that He scraped His knuckles on the scum of the bottom of the barrel when He grabbed me, because you know what? I was a sinner, and I am saved by grace. We need to realize, church, that the only difference between us and the world out there is by the grace of God. Their eyes have not been enlightened to the grace of God. Why should we walk around with our head and nose stuck up in the air? Mama used to say, well, you don't walk around like that because if it starts raining, you might drown. Amen. Everybody needs forgiveness. Later, He tells her in verse 50, He says, and He said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Now, I want to ask this. What right did Jesus have to declare her forgiven? Now, that's easy for us to answer because we know He's the Son of God. But this is not the first time Jesus has been saying people's sins are forgiven. And the people in this room is like, what kind of man is this? Well, actually, in Luke chapter 5, we see where Jesus healed a man after He said, your sins are forgiven. And then they said, well, wait a minute, who are you? This man, you're speaking blasphemy. Who can forgive sins but God? And He said, well, is it easier to say your sins be forgiven, or, hey, boy, take up your mat and go home, cripple boy. You ain't crippled no more. And He proved, folks, that there was power in His words. Who, what, right? Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He is the Word made flesh. He is God on earth. He is Emmanuel, God with us. And if God didn't condemn this woman for her past, but accepted her worship, her heartfelt worship, then who are we to cast judgment on her? What saved this woman? Was it her works? No. See, some folks think, well, because for this reason her sins are forgiven, because she's, when Jesus says that, for this reason her sins are forgiven. No, the reason why she is pouring out her love upon is because she knows that she has received forgiveness. We are not saved by faith plus works. We're not. We are saved by a faith that leads to good works. If your faith don't lead to good works, my friend, your faith is dead and you're on your way to hell. I'm just going to say it like that. Amen? Or oh me? I got to get used to this. I get excited and I forget to smash my clicker button to advance the next slide. That's okay. Y'all bear with me. Paul writes this. And to Titus, he says, but when we were, when the kindness of God our Savior and His love for mankind appeared, talking about Jesus, He saved us not on the basis of deeds which we had done in righteousness, but according to His mercy by the washing of the regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out upon us richly through Christ, or Jesus Christ our Savior, and so that being justified by His grace, we will be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Now, Was she saved by her ugly crying? No. Some people say, well, I don't have that story. I don't have that great miraculous story where I walked the aisle. I just remember saying, Lord, Jesus, You are Lord. And it just clicked. And I don't have that great, well, you don't have to, because you're not saved by your ugly crying. You're not saved by your tears and your, and everything else. You are saved by your faith. See, some of us get this mixed up and we think, well, we got to have some great Pauline conversion where we're knocked off our horse. Now, I want to say this, there will be change. If you don't have change after you put your faith in Christ, my friend, you might not have put your faith in Christ. Amen? If there's not a difference, I ain't saying that you're perfect, but I'm saying that you are forgiven. And there's something living on the inside of you that makes you strive to do the things that pleases God. It's called the Holy Spirit. Now, how do we know this woman was saved? How do we know? God told her, didn't He? I love, if you look at the literal translation, now, I want you to think of the past. Now, from the time if she heard Jesus say, come unto Me, all you that are weary and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. And after all this is going on, he goes and listen to what it says in verse 50. And your faith has saved you. Go in. Actually, the literally translation in the Greek is go into peace. Go into peace. Now, I want you to stop and think about that. Here she has, she's had a sordid past, no matter what she was, and whether she, like I said, whether she was a soccer mom or a hoochie mama. Amen? Come on now. Y'all, some of y'all are like, he said that. Yes, I did. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? Amen? I'm going to put it down where y'all say put it, where y'all can understand it, so I'm going to use y'all's lingo, okay? Mine too. But what I'm saying, notice what all this turmoil. And he says, go into peace. You're forgiven. I don't know about you, but when I was forgiven, there was a peace flooded my soul. I cannot understand it. I don't know how people live without it. Amen? Amen? But all of us need forgiveness. Every single one of us. And these two debtors, the story of two debtors shows us that no matter how righteous or how religious you think you are, we all fall short. And don't get on your high horse. How do you know that God saved you? Because He said He did. If you come to Him in faith, with a broken and contrite heart, He said He would no wise cast you out. Isaiah 1:18 says, come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be like wool. Acts 13:38-39 says, therefore let us be known, let it be known to you, brethren, that through Him forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you, and through Him everyone who believes is freed from all things from which you could not be freed through the law of Moses. You know what he just said?
you put faith in Christ, your faith saves you. Go into peace. Some of you, I want to know, some of you need to know the peace of God. Even some folks that are Christians, they're still trying to do it up by the works. And he said, no, 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 no. I appreciate all the works, but don't think that's where your hope lies. Your tears, your squalling, your rubbing his, anointing his feet didn't save this woman. And it ain't going to save you either. It's your faith in him. And that faith will motivate you to do those things. But don't put the cart before the horse. Now, we've looked at the debtors. Both of them had a debt they could not pay. We've looked at the debt. Total depravity. You can't save yourself. You can't be good enough. We've looked at the dispensation of grace. How Jesus said, hey, your faith has saved you. We read where Paul said it's by grace through faith and not of works, lest anybody should boast. God does the saving. Amen? Now, we all need forgiveness. Every single one of us. Sister, would you come? I'm going to close with a story. And I found this story very enlightening. No, it's not in the Bible, but it does share a biblical principle. It's about a boy and his grandma's duck. It says a little boy was visiting his grandparents and was given his first slingshot. He practiced in the woods, but he could never, ever hit his target. And as he came back to Grandma's backyard, he spied her pet duck. And on impulse, he took aim and let fly. The stone hit, and the duck fell dead. The boy panicked. Desperately, he hid the duck, the dead duck in the wood pile, only to look up and see his sister watching. Sally had seen it all, but said nothing. After lunch that day, Grandma said, Sally, let's wash the dishes. But Sally said, Johnny told me he wanted to help in the kitchen today. Didn't you, Johnny? And she whispered to him, remember the duck. So Johnny did the dishes. Later, Grandpa asked if the children wanted to go fishing. Grandma said, I'm sorry, but I need Sally to help make supper. Sally smiled and said, that's all taken care of. Johnny wants to do it. Again, she whispered, remember the duck. Johnny stayed while Sally went fishing. After several days of Johnny doing both his chores and Sally's, finally he couldn't stand it. He confessed to Grandma that he had killed her beloved pet duck. And then Grandma said, I know, Johnny. Giving him a big hug. I was standing at the window and saw the whole thing. Because I love you, I forgave you. I wondered how long you would let Sally make a slave of you. Let's turn that around. All of us is guilty of something. And the enemy, the accuser of our soul, will come and say, remember that dead duck that you hid? Remember that thing you did? You just do what I tell you to do and everything will be all right. Just, I'm going to control you by your past. Look how people look down on you. And our Heavenly Father standing at the window and he's seen it all. How long will you let Satan make you a slave to your past?
How long will you let him call the debt and say, oh, remember what you did? I saw it all. How long will you let him control your life? I want you to stand. And I want to remind you of this, that today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of salvation. The Bible says that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord. My friend, our Heavenly Father's been standing at the window. He has seen everything you've done. There's nothing that's been hidden to His sight. And He's saying, you know what? I saw you and I sent my Son to forgive you. And all you've got to do is receive it. George Wilson was a mail thief. George Wilson got caught. George Wilson was sentenced to die, to hang. And the President of the United States sent down a pardon to pardon this man from his deed where he wouldn't have to hang, and he refused it. He refused it. And you know what? George Wilson swung. See, the invitation is being given. The pardon has been decreed. It's what you do with it. With every head bowed and every eye closed, don't leave here thinking about the proverbial dead duck in the woodpile. Please leave here today saying, you know what, I've been forgiven. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, these altars are open. It's not these altars that's going to save you. It's your faith in Christ. Would you come? Jesus said, come unto me, all you that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. If you need prayer for anything, these altars are open. If all minds are clear, every single one of us needs forgiveness. And if we have received forgiveness, then we should be a giver of grace. No matter what somebody's done to you, just imagine all the dead ducks you have in the woodpile, and God forgave you. If all minds are clear, Brother Robert Rivers, would you live?